when you make things become common, when you make them become familiar, it takes away some of that fear.
Welcome to On the Grow, where the journey is just as important as the destination. The podcast where we embark on the exciting journey of intentional living within the whirlwind of busy family life. Join us, Cyrus and Michelle, as we navigate the chaos with laughter, love, and a shared commitment to fostering growth. So whether you're a seasoned parent or just starting your family journey, join us each week for candid conversations, heartwarming anecdotes, and valuable insights. Let's grow together, laugh together, and build a community that celebrates intentional living.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the On the Grow podcast. I am Cyrus Jaffrey, as you know, and this is Michelle Jaffrey. And we're excited today to share a little bit about just our cultural backgrounds, traveling, and some of the things that we have done with the kids for the last 7 years that we've had kids. And so we're excited to share about our experiences and how it has helped us get the kids out to different places and what experiences they have learned.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a big proponent, as you know, for like world schooling, the new trend of like immersing kids in different cultures and learning different languages and seeing how different people just really live. And I think that my love for that came from being a little girl. You know, my parents traveled with us quite a bit, and it really opened up my eyes to different cultures, different religions, ethnicities, backgrounds, traditions. And it was just so eye-opening coming from a really small, you know, Midwestern town and school. And it was just really, it really brought so much joy and experience into my life. And then, of course, when I met Cyrus, I had no idea that he was even from a different country. We kind of went over that story on one of our other episodes. But I think that his background and everything that he's been through and his experiences make him such a unique and well-rounded individual, and the different things he knows, it's just really, it just brings different perspectives. So it's really important to me to expose my kids to some of those same things.
Yeah. So I guess one of the first things, why is like a cultured kid important for a kid to learn a little bit about different cultures and different religions and different backgrounds of people?
Yeah, I think it just adds, again, it enriches what they already know, and it encourages them to think outside of the box, or kind of what we're taught here as like kind of one way. I feel like, you know, Americans, we're kind of only taught that there's one way to do things, and, you know, English is a primary language. I mean, there's a lot more openness to different things now as far as learning different languages and more acceptance and all these things. But I still think that there could be more diversity and just more inclusion and just awareness. Sometimes I feel like this is a bigger overarching topic, but sometimes I feel like a lot of the fear that we have comes from just it being unfamiliar. And when I say fear, I mean fear of different cultures, certain ethnicities or religions. A lot of times there's just fear because they don't know anyone of that religion or that culture. Like, I'll be honest, when we first met, and then you said your family was raised Muslim and you're Muslim, you know, that word, there's kind of like still sometimes that underlying Islamophobia in the U.S. that we're just conditioned to be fearful of what we don't know. And so when you kind of talked to me about that, since I knew you and you had said that, that fear wasn't there. But for others, like even some of my friends, it was kind of like, whoa. Like, you're dating someone who's Muslim? Like, I've never heard of such a thing. You know, it's just unknown. So getting back to my point, I think that it just, when you make things become common, when you make them become familiar, it takes away some of that fear. And we get to know them and get to know who they are as a people. Just like any groups of people, you're going to have, you know, your quote-unquote bad people in any group, any religion, any ethnicity. And then you're going to have your really fantastic people. And that's true anywhere. That's true in our state. That's true in our city. That's true in our church. That's true anywhere. So I just think it kind of takes away some of that fear and the unknowns of different cultures. And therefore you relate to others. You take what you like and you leave what you don't from their culture and their way of life. And it just broadens your horizon.
Yeah. I mean, when I came here, 2002 is when I moved here from Afghanistan or Pakistan to Denver, and I was into a high school with, there's literally like, I don't know, 3,000 people there, and like 10 of them were minorities. And so that was really, really challenging for me. And I would imagine it's challenging for a lot of people now that invaded, that when Afghanistan got invaded again in 2021. There's a lot of refugees back in here, not just from Afghanistan. People are here from Ukraine. People are here or go to other places. So I think it's, for us, it's kind of our obligation to teach the kids about different backgrounds that, hey, because we were at a chiropractor last night, and there was a disabled kid that wasn't the same as everybody else. And like my kids were just like staring at him, and other kids were staring at him. So when we went to the car, I said, hey guys, like, why were you guys looking? He said, well, that guy was a little different. And I was like, yeah, he's different because this person is disabled. This person has a disability that God created for him. And you guys should be very thankful that maybe you guys don't have that disability, and that there's a lot of people in this world that are different. That doesn't mean that they're bad, that you have to look at them. You can still say hi to them. They're still nice people. We should have got to know that person a lot better. Just because they look different or act different doesn't mean that they're not good people, of course, right? So those are the things on a daily basis that we teach our kids, just to kind of get them to be accustomed to, hey, your dad's from Afghanistan. My mom doesn't speak English very well. And at first, and it's still this way, and other kids, like, they don't understand because they don't see my mom as much. That's probably one of the first problems. But we try to teach them all the time that, hey, she's from a different country. She doesn't speak English. So some of the things she's doing is just different. That doesn't mean she is a bad person, or you shouldn't respect her as much as you respect Michelle's mom, because some of the things she does is exactly how the kids see it happening. So those are the things that we're trying to, but it's very challenging for anybody. And it's really challenging for us, even from a different background, to get the kids to understand. So I would imagine if you don't deal with that on a daily basis and you're in this environment and then you see somebody, I could see how the kids would be like, whoa, these guys are different.
Familiar. It's just, and that's part of that exposure that's really important to us, exposing them to different cultures, even like he mentioned different, you know, it, kids with different backgrounds, whether that be a non-neurotypical child, a child who has autism, a child with a disability, a child who's, you know, handicapped and in a wheelchair, like just exposure to these things when they're unfamiliar, it feels scary. It's natural to want to protect us, and we're, you know, the brain wants to be protected. And so when we see things that are different, we're automatically like, whoa, you know, so it's just that exposure. And I had written a couple children's books, and in one of them, it was super important to me that families of all backgrounds were represented in these children's books. Because so often, at least here in the U.S., we only see certain types of families represented in children's books. Granted, we are seeing more minorities and things like that, but still not fully well-rounded and not as often as I would prefer as a mom with young kids who reads many books. So that was like of huge importance to me. And the overlying concept of my book, as shown through the illustrations, you know, all these parents are under the same moon. It's like, we are really all the same. We love our children. And just, you know, exposing my kids to seeing families that look the same as ours, have the same routines, do the bedtime routines, but they were wearing hijab instead of, you know, just regular clothing. Like, it just, these are still parents that love their child at the end of the day. And so it was really important to me, again, that exposure. So I think like that's part of the main reason we like to travel with our kids, is exposing them to different backgrounds, ways of life, languages. I think it's even helped. We've had an au pair live with us, and she's from Venezuela, and she's spoken a different language, and that's been beneficial. Especially like my son was delayed a little bit in speech and still kind of struggles with enunciation and pronunciation. And I think it's been helpful for him to have someone in the house who is also kind of learning to say and pronounce things a certain way. He doesn't feel quite so alone. And I think that just having that like experience has made him see like, oh, I'm not so different. Like, I'm not scary. Nothing's wrong with me. Like, we all learn at our own levels and at different ages and different ways. And then I think like another point that Cyrus talked about was, granted, him coming from a different country, but my family is, my dad is Hispanic as well too. And so I was always brought up knowing about like his parents and their culture, but there was a lot of need and urgency to fit in. and almost like assimilate so quickly and forget like where he was from so that we could be accepted and fit in. And so I feel like where Cyrus still their family, and I love that they hang on to their culture and they really have carried it through and savored that. I would say my dad's really felt the urgency at a time that they lived here to assimilate and kind of forget it. But now I feel like we both have these like underlying tones of wanting to really pay respect to our heritages and our backgrounds and foster that. Cause as much as we try to fit in, and we are like kind of at the end of the day, your typical, like a normal American Nebraskan family, we still have very unique backgrounds that most of even our neighbors and others around us don't have. Sometimes I feel so normal, which of course we are, kind of me, not so much. I'm a little strange. I'm a little funny, but for the most part, I feel like we very much fit in, and we do. But at the end of the day, when you look at our backgrounds and our family tree and the languages that are spoken and the hardships that our families have had, we realize that we are different. I mean, our kids technically are first generation Americans, which is crazy to think about for me because I was obviously born here. Mm-hmm. But as an immigrant father, our kids are first generation. So I feel like we have a special desire in our heart to expose them more so than the typical American. However, I do think that it's super important for that exposure of different languages and cultures. And there's not a ton of diversity in Nebraska. So I hope that someday, you know, that changes, or there's some sort of programs for kids where we kind of bring the world to them if they're not able to get out to the world through books, through movies, through, you know, games, through things they're doing, kind of integrate that and bring it to them. Because we do feel like that exposure to the world is super important to their growth as humans.
Yeah. So we've taken our kids, like I said, Sophia, our oldest daughter, is 7 years old. And I think she was on the beach when she was like 2 months old. I remember we were in Florida when she was like 2 months old. She's been to, all over the world. You know, she has been to Bahamas, Puerto Rico, a bunch of different countries, Mexico.
Quite a few countries planned this year too.
And going this year to Canada. She's going this year to Spain. And then she's going to go to Mexico. And for her to kind of see some of the things that we want her to see and be accustomed to. And obviously it's time off for us to go on vacation and spend some quality time with the family and not have to worry about work and the daily grind of what the U.S. really does on a daily basis. So I think it's going to be, but for us from the beginning was like, listen, like, it's like, do you want to suffer in the winter in Nebraska, for example, where it gets really cold? Or do you want to suffer for like a couple of hours on a plane with a kid? And then you're going to get to a warm place, first of all, to be able to enjoy yourself, and then get her to see what some of the other countries about. Like when we went to Puerto Rico, we didn't stay at a resort or anything. We got an Airbnb and we had a car and we just kind of went and traveled. Went all over.
That was a fun experience because literally driving in at night, remember, right. It was like you literally couldn't even see. We called it Cow Road because a huge bull with like horns, mm-hmm. huge horns just walked across the road in front of us like we were in an outdoor safari.
I had three kids.
We had all, when they were little. Yeah, we stayed there for
Mateo
like a month.
Mateo was super
too.
Small. We stayed there for a long time.
But I think what he's saying is it's going to be hard. So he's kind of speaking to the challenge. There is challenge when you travel with your kids. But honestly, like there's challenge eating breakfast. There's challenge making their bed. There's challenge when they're perfectly content at like Disney World. I mean, their kids are just challenging. And that's what I always tell him, you know, like, yeah, things are going to be hard. Anytime you do anything with kids, if your kids are around, there's going to be a challenge. Like that's just, and especially our middle one, he could find something horrible about everything. So I think what he was saying was you weigh the challenge, which one at the end provides the better result for you and for your family. Like, yeah, it's challenging to travel with your kids. Yes, it's challenging to stay home and keep them occupied in the winter when you can't get outside and it's freezing cold and everyone's sick. Like, we really value our outdoor time. And I think that we both have these backgrounds of our cultures and of community, and we're really desiring that more. Being out, being outdoors, being with people, getting to know people, especially coming off of COVID, I feel like that need and that desire for community and being social like has gone up. And I think that, you know, as we see the world and things around us, it's just like life is short. And I saw something the other day I've been sharing with him about my desire to travel even more than we do, because it's just like life is short. We could wait when it's easier, but, you know, when does it get, quote unquote, easier? And there's always going to be these challenges, and not to put off our life if you can make it happen. And with the amount of remote workers now, I think more people are valuing that. They're valuing their time off to travel, to spend time with families, to see different places in the U.S. and in the world. And I'm loving that direction and that trend that we're taking collectively.
Yeah. And the experiences I learned in Puerto Rico and the Bahamas and Mexico and all the other places we went to. We have spent a lot of time in Arizona as well. You know, so just the experiences that you learn from this as me, Michelle, and then the kids as well, right? Like, so they get to hang out with the kids that are from Puerto Rico. They, even if some of those people are maybe not local, but when we were in the Bahamas this last summer, we literally hung out with a family that lives there for 6 months. So they're like pretty much locals there. And they kind of were telling us about the schools and how they do some things and how they literally like, they go to the beach after school. Like,
yeah,
that's really cool. You know, instead of like being on your iPad inside of a house and not really learning about what really life is about, is the experiences that that you're able to go through. And that was really cool for me. And I'm excited to see what Spain is like. You know, we're going to go spend some time in Spain and all of that stuff. And I'm excited for the kids to learn those cultures and what life is about, not just here, you know, because me and her talk about this all the time. Like, in the U.S., like, it's really hard for somebody to, like, not fall into the trap of just, like, a 9-to-5, and then you get home, you're extremely tired, and you're really not living a life. You're living the life of work, you know what I'm saying? So you're kind of wasting a lot of your time, because, like, I'm 35. This is, like, our prime years, you know? Like, from the next, like, 10 years or so is, like, the prime years of our life with our kids. The first 10 years of your life with your kids is literally 95% of the time that you'll spend with your kids. Now think about that, right? Because for the first 10 years, they're at your house all the time. As they become teenagers, 14, 15, they start driving. They're not going to be around as much. And as they leave for college, like, you're going to see them like once a month. So the first 10 years are the most crucial time for your kids. And that's when she was telling me, hey, we got to do this. I was like, absolutely, because I understand the most valuable time where you can spend with your kids is that first 10 years. And a lot of people's valuable time where they're growing their businesses around that same time as well. And a lot of people choose that over building a life with their kids, which is backwards in my opinion.
But it's also hard. And I also feel very privileged and fortunate of like your entrepreneurial spirit and our ability to maybe do some of these things. And I will say that, you know, it's not like luck. We're very much planners. We're pretty smart with our finances as far as having the right people in our corner and doing our own research and things like that to build up a little savings to be able to do some of these things. And granted, cost of living and even travel and, you know, purchasing food and things in some of these countries is so much more affordable than here. So like there's a big difference in that. But like, what would be your recommendation to someone who maybe doesn't have as much freedom? How do they incorporate? How do they make more time for travel when they have, you know, certain types of jobs, commitments, requirements? Maybe they're having to be there for a long time with retirement, thinking about retirement. Like, so, I mean, everyone's situation is a little bit different. So I know it's something we're super passionate about, but what would you recommend? How can someone build in more family time, more diversity, more culture, more exposure? And I'll give you a second to think about that because I did want to touch on another thing you said, you know, talking about meeting these kids in these different cities and these cultures. Yeah. It was so cool. Like you said, in the Bahamas, again, we got an Airbnb and I'm kind of loving that. As a former travel agent, I feel like I'm cheating on the hotel and tourism industry by doing an Airbnb. But I just love living kind of like the locals, shopping at their grocery stores. Like in the Bahamas, we went to the grocery store and literally they were doing Christian karaoke. Like that's normal at the grocery store in the Bahamas. And like just things like that of seeing that was just so cool. And like meeting different people and seeing like, yeah, there was a bunch of Canadian and different ethnicities of family. We met a former professional tennis player who they live there 6 months out of the year. She does tennis lessons in the Bahamas. And then they go home, like maybe it was UK, I forgot where she lives, or Russia or something like that. And then there was another family that they, you know, live there 6 months out of the year, kids go to school there and they go back. So there are a lot of families that do these things and it's completely normal. And they're so well-rounded. They're so well-adjusted. They're so cultured. Even like going to Arizona, you talked about like just the different things our kids know. Like our kids know about looking out for scorpions. And we're Nebraska kids, but they know about looking out for scorpions and jumping cholas when you're hiking, which is a type of like plant and cactus that can be super painful, and you know, where rattlesnakes, when they come out, what to do, X, Y, and Z. So
and outside, being outside.
Like, yeah, so being outside.
They understand that being outside gives them healthier lifestyle potentially. So they love that part of it.
And just the different uniqueness. Cause like, it's not like if they said jumping cholla in Nebraska, no one would know what that is. But you know, so just, I love these different things of these lifestyles, but yeah, coming, circling back, what would be your recommendation? Cause you're pretty financially savvy, entrepreneurial. You know, like I said, like, I don't want to come across as like, we're very privileged. But with that being said, like, I also hate to say that we're privileged because you've also worked very hard and like people know where you've come from. Like you were a refugee. So you've worked hard. It's not like you grew up with a silver spoon in your mouth and are a trust fund kid or something like that. Like you have worked for literally every dollar you made, starting from McDonald's and walking to work. I mean, your story, that's for another day for your book, but you know, so I hate saying privilege because it's like, no, you've just been very hardworking. But for those that maybe haven't taken like an entrepreneurial route and are more in maybe a government job and working for a school or like a 9-to-5 where they kind of feel like they have to in order to like save up, you know, for retirement, how would you recommend they could kind of incorporate some more of what we're kind of proposing here?
Yeah, good question. Well, I mean, you don't have to go all the way to Spain. You don't have to go to the Bahamas. You can, and honestly, you can get in those places at certain times for a lot cheaper than you would imagine. I mean, you could probably, for $500, you can get to a different country pretty easy. And
yeah, flights are like the same from Nebraska. Like from Nebraska, since we're a small airport, literally flying Florida is about the same cost, depending on time of year, as flying internationally. So yeah.
Yeah. And then once you get there, you know, not having a resort that's $1,000 a night or $500 a night, finding a place that's more feasible for what your budget is. So I feel like if it's important to you, you find a way to make it happen and you budget it correctly to be able to do it. Because at the end of the day, you can always make an excuse of why you can't afford something, right? But if it's truly important to you, you're going to make it happen. So my suggestion would basically be that. Listen, if it's important to you, if it's important for you to understand that your kids need to see some of those things, if it's important to you for you to understand that your kids need outdoors, your kids need, and you don't have to go all the way to those places. Like I said, you know, you could literally pack up, get in a car and go to the mountains, right? Like Colorado, you go to Colorado, you go to Utah, you go to different places that is close to you to get away. The idea is to get away and maybe go into certain places that potentially get away from the distractions to be able to spend the quality time. Now we're saying, hey, it's nice to go to different countries because you see how they do things, but I could see how it might not be feasible for everybody as financially to be able to do some of those things. But I would promise you that like we were in Italy for a work trip this last whatever summer. And like there are some small towns in Italy that are extremely affordable. Mm-hmm. Like you can go, you don't have to go to like Rome. You don't have to go to like whatever, like the main of Venice or whatever. You don't have to go live downtown there because that's where a lot of tourists, that's the most expensive. So you kind of have to get away and go to like where the locals are, where things are cheaper and groceries are cheaper and things like that. So you can do it at a budget. And we did it for a budget for years because we didn't have the money that we obviously do now, like 5 years ago or 7 years ago. Like we did it, but we did it. Like that was the thing. It's like me and you traveled more than anything in the world, we traveled more outside of the United States.
Oh,
we
did more it in, so than doing
more so than in here because we understood that like, hey, like we could do it cheaper going across the ocean or whatever and doing certain things. So I would encourage you to find that in your budget. What does that look like? And then as far as taking time off and things like that, you can strategize a lot of those things because you get a lot of time off in the winter specifically because you got Christmas, you got New Year's, you got all those times. And you can add on a couple more days on top of that, take some time off, you know, and honestly, any more, it's nowhere those days are gone where you get like 5 vacation days or 10 vacation days, you know, with remote work and things that you can do. And obviously providing value to your organization and saying, listen, when I'm remote, I'm not wasting time. I'm actually going to work. And here are the reasons that my production is higher when I'm away. So telling your organization some of those things, a lot of organizations like us, like we got 130 people in our organization. So if somebody comes to me and says, hey, I want to work from Puerto Rico for a month, as long as you're hitting your numbers, like I would have no issues with it. It's very easy these days to be able to work remote and still be able to live life.
If you have a job
that is flexible, but a lot of jobs lately are, and there are some that are not, like I understand that. And on those times, you just got to have to make it happen in the time that you have off, you know?
Well, yeah, because even like teachers or government workers, I mean, I think there's even websites or professionals or like, I remember seeing a website where it helps you strategize when to take vacations based upon like how it falls. Like, oh, here's President's Day coming up. You're going to have X, Y, and Z. Take these days off and you're going to end up having a whole week off. Like, so there are a lot of places like that have figured it out. Like he said, I think with anything in life, you're going to find a way to make it happen. So you look at finances. You can find out what you can cut out. Like, what's your spending like? Are you someone who's getting a Starbucks every day? Are we spending excess on clothes? Because I feel like everyone has different priorities. Like, so that's another thing. Our priority has always been travel. So like, if you look at our closets, like we prioritize travel more so than like fashion and keeping up with trends and shoes and
go out.
Or designer purses, for example. Like I know when we were in Italy and we had friends who, you know, I don't know, just different things. Yeah. And going out, like people value and prioritize different things in their life. And for us, there's no wrong or right way. For some people, it really brings fulfillment and joy having like the latest and nicest pair of shoes or purse or being involved in a certain club or X, Y, and Z. But for us, we really value experiences and travel. So that's where we prioritize our budget and our spending. So that's been something that's unique to us and our family too. And again, no right way, no wrong way. It's just something that we collectively have agreed on. And I love experiencing. Like I grew up watching the Travel Channel. Like I love all things travel. I love different cultures, different languages. So it's just really something that's a passion of mine. So it's understandable if it's not quite yours, but like he said, if you want to make it happen, there are ways. And from an employer standpoint, because he obviously employs quite a few people, like when you find a good, valuable team player and asset to your team, they're going to be flexible with you. Like we just came off the great resignation period where so many people were leaving their jobs. So I think at this point too, employers are really wanting to do whatever it takes to keep people happy. And we're starting to collectively, it seems like, be more open-minded when it comes to how we approach from like the employer and HR standpoint, how we approach time off and family time. Like I'm hoping as a society that we're switching to more truly valuing that time off and those time togethers. Because, you know, in European countries, they take holidays. Like we got to meet up with his sister who lives in Amsterdam when we were in Italy, and they were traveling all of Italy for like a month or two because European employers give holidays of like 2 months, which is something we don't do. So here in the States. So things like that are just so unique and so different in different countries that it's fun to look at. And it's fun, you know, in every country you're going to go and you're like, ooh, I wish we did that here, but I'm glad we don't do that. You know, there's going to be pros and cons. There's going to be goods and bads, things you like, things you don't like, but being exposed to those different cultures, you're like, ooh, let's bring that into our home, but not that, you know? And so I think it's just like getting those things and kind of modeling different things, taking from different cultures and, adding that into your life, it's been really fun. I even read a parenting book where one mom did that. She just traveled to all these cultures, even like, you know, Incan cultures and mountainous people, like all these different crazy all over in Africa and Latin America, and just took little things from their parenting styles and saw how they did it differently. And it's just really unique. So that's part of what we value and kind of what we love about that. And like he said, I think that there are ways to make it happen if it's a priority to you. And I know it seems overwhelming to travel. I know for a lot of people, they're like, oh my gosh, the plane, the hassle of the travel, but they're really making it more family friendly. I saw that even like an airport like Denver, they're adding this like service, like almost like a valet service where from car to your boarding place, they'll help you. Cause I know it's a lot of the big things like, okay, we've got luggage, we've got strollers, we've got car seats, we've got kids. They kind of basically come and help you as like an assistant to get you onto the plane. So I think that airports and our culture is like trending towards more like making it happen for you and simplifying it a little bit. And I've got tons of tips and ideas and tricks and certain things that I've learned and taken from others to make traveling a little bit easier. And it's not like we don't have it down to a science. Sometimes we just wing it. And things constantly are changing as they grow older and their interests and different challenges. But there are resources out there to help you. And if you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer any recommendations. I know he's pretty good with as far as like budgeting and what we can eliminate, what we can, cut out, these kind of things. So just prioritization. But I think there's so much joy and so many, I hate to put off for us, put off like living what living is for us, whether that, and maybe for you, that's a hobby. Maybe that's for you. It's, golf or doing X, Y, and Z. I know when I became a parent, I had these notions of, okay, parenting, it comes first. Everything else, my life has to wait. My life is put on hold until the kids are like 18, but that's not fair. That's not fair to you or the child, because eventually you may resent that child for stopping you from living and doing the things you love. So it's not fair for either of us. So just finding that thing that you prioritize and value. For us, it's travel and those experiences and finding a way to include your kids in those. And maybe it's golf and finding a way to, like, he'll take Sophia to the driving range or whatever. So it's just finding a way to integrate it, finding a way to make it work so that it meets both parties' needs, both parties meaning parents and kids, finding a way to live and enjoy life together instead of feeling like you have to wait to enjoy your life till they're older.
Yep. So we got to end this episode. And any final thoughts?
No, I feel like we kind of got off. I wanted to be a little bit more specific about like some of the things, but certainly drop any notes or questions that you may have specific about traveling with kids, or maybe we could do another episode sometime if someone has questions about logistics and things like that. I have a lot of, I guess, insider tricks from working in the travel and tourism industry a little bit. But other than that, no, I feel like it's brought us so much joy. I love different cultures. I love learning about different languages. I've never walked away from a trip regretting it. Just the things you learn, the memories you make will surpass anything else. Like, I can't remember one gift I got as a child growing up, but I can tell you about the trips I've been to. I can tell you about the places I've been. So I think for us, we're just switching to that valuing experiences, togetherness, and community more so than, the grind, the hustle, the consumption, the acquiring more goods, the purchasing of more, kind of like that capitalism. So we're kind of switching to more of those experiences and being together. And I feel like collectively that's where it's trending, and I am here for it.
Rock and roll. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.